Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
School is out for the summer and will probably be starting in the fall with all sorts of restrictions in place to quote-unquote protect the children, teachers, and staff from COVID-19. But our children are still being targeted every day through books, the internet, even preschool kids are being targeted. Although public libraries are still closed here in PA due to Governor Wolf's emergency declaration, which he just extended for another 90 days, all the children have to do is go to YouTube and have books read to them. Books that promote liberal ideas are very prevalent on YouTube. Parents must be extremely careful when choosing books for their child. Do not assume a nice-sounding book is okay. My guest today has done a lot of research on children's books and even written a book about her findings. Debbie DeGroff is here with us today to help expose some of the propaganda, brainwashing, and indoctrination that our children and grandchildren are exposed to through books. Thanks, Debbie, for being with us.
Well, Diane, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you have written the book, and we'll get into that a little bit, how folks can get it and such. But you recently posted on your blog a list of about 45 books. I think it was 45, but I'm saying about because I didn't recount. I didn't count it twice, so anyway.
It's 45.
Okay. The chart includes the names of the author, the age range the book is targeting, the number of pages in the book, the subject, i.e. climate change, activism, or LGBTQ, feminism, and even polyamory. You also list the publisher, the year it was published, et cetera, et cetera. Really nicely laid out chart there. It also includes actual links to a reading of the book. The chart includes the amount of time each video is, and I really appreciate that part. So why do you feel it's so important to investigate and expose these children's books?
Well, usually people don't have the time. Parents don't take the time or make the time to read the books their kids are reading after those books become lengthy. So I have found that the preschool children are the ones who are really being targeted heavily. And of course, those books are very short. Some of them just have a few hundred words in them.
Right.
So I thought, well, I would make a list of some of them that I find being read on YouTube, and that way parents can take 4 or 5 minutes and listen to one of these books and look at the pictures, so that they will actually know what is between the covers before they make the decisions for their children.
Mm-hmm.
I could have made the list probably 10 times this long, but I will admit, I just got tired.
But you probably could have made it 10 times long, but then people wouldn't have looked through the entire 4,500 or whatever titles.
Okay.
So, you know, as I went down through that, and I really appreciate you also putting on the chart the length of time each video was. I really appreciated that. But the subject matter, to say the least, is very concerning. And we're going to talk about some of those books that you have on the list. We're going to start talking about Our House is on Fire. This is targeting ages 3 through 8. What's the story behind that? What is the goal of that book?
Well, that is a line from Greta Thunberg.
Okay,
as some people call her, Saint Greta, and it's her call to save the planet. That's the subtitle, Greta Thunberg's Call to Save the Planet. And, of course, there are very, very few words in this book. And so you have to know there's so much being omitted, and you're talking to children as young as 3.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of your 3-year-old being a 3-year-old, now they're learning how they're supposed to be an activist.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be fighting and holding up signs and
boycotting school.
Of these things because our planet, our house is on fire, and we're supposed to be panicking. You know, her line, she says, at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, she said, I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that really struck me with that, the reading of that book, just the whole concept of the book, is that it's telling the children that the adults who love them are doing nothing about this. So you have to step up and become an activist to save the planet. You have to boycott school. You have to unite. You have to stop the drilling of oil. And you have to just be an activist to promote solar and wind, you know, alternative methods of energy. So that, again, teaching a 3-year-old to be an activist is just instilling that idea in their head. It's, again...
Before you know history, science, economics, geography, let alone how to read.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the other things that's very concerning in that book is picture a three-year-old. Everybody has been around a three-year-old at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like for your three-year-old to listen to a story about the ice melting into the sea and disappearing, the mighty winds and the torrential rains, you know, that are destroying everything, the coral reefs that are all bleached out by the warming waters.
All the cities that are being flooded and the polar bears that are dying.
Yeah. And so, you know, it says that Greta became sad thinking about the climate all the time. And so, and she says there might not be a world to live in when she grows up. Mm-hmm. What use is school without a future?
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah.
Now, three-year-olds are very, very vulnerable. You know,
and the author knows that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you try to deal with something so concisely, of course you're omitting so many facts that are pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to an older child.
Yeah. Even to an 8-year-old. I mean, facts, that's a large age range, 3 to 8.
Yes.
As far as writing one book targeting that entire age range, it's 8-year-olds understand a whole lot more than 3-year-olds do. There's no question about that.
Right.
And then the other one I picked, I went down to pick the 14 or so, which we probably won't have time to go through them all, but A is for activists. This targets ages 3 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
It also teaches activism, and in this particular one, it's the author reading the book to his son, a video of that. From what I'm recalling, it goes through the entire alphabet.
Yeah, and by the way, yes, it is for 3 to 7-year-olds, but Occupy Wall Street endorsement recommends it for 2-year-olds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Occupy Wall Street recommended 2-year-olds.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. Those experts.
Yeah, right, and you know, this talks about the corporate vultures and the environmental justice is our right and healthy food is a human right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have a whole thing on the May Day celebration, you know, which is the International Workers' Day by the socialists and communists.
Yeah, it was definitely had tinges of socialism and communism. There's no doubt about that.
Right. And so, again, what are you trying to do to a 2- and 3-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Why are these books with these messages targeting these children?
Yeah, except to impact them and to plant the ideas in their head that they have to be activists in order to fix things because the adults around them are not fixing things the way that they should be fixed.
Yeah.
And I chose 3, and I'll just combine these, by author Rob Sanders.
Yes.
And the 3 I chose were Peaceful Fights for Equal Rights, Stonewall, A Building, An Uprising, A Revolution, which that one is told in through the eyes of the Stonewall in itself. And then the third Rob Sanders book I chose was Pride, The Story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag. And of course, all 3 of those are LGBTQ messages.
Yes, and let's see, they have, one of them is for 4- to 8-year-olds, and the other 2, I believe, are 5 to 8.
Correct, yeah.
And so, you know, the first one, of course, they're calling Peaceful Fights for Equal Rights for 4- to 8-year-olds. But let's think about this. What is the message in here? Assemble, take action, create allies, boycott, resist, demonstrate, file a lawsuit.
Yeah.
We're talking 4- to 8-year-old children.
Yeah. But planting those seeds. Yeah, I think in this book, they also go through the alphabet and they link activism activities to each letter of the, like you're saying, demonstrate, boycott, and all that stuff.
Right. And then you get to the 2-page spread that's completely black except for the very large white letters. Strike.
Strike. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. What every 4-year-old should be doing.
Okay. Yeah. Again, using the tactics of, like, the Workers' Party, like the socialism, I mean, those who are advocating for socialism, the striking was one of the methods that they used, wasn't it?
Yeah, you notice even in this book, which is milder than some, other than those messages, you always have that famous raised and clenched fist.
Yeah.
Now, the definition keeps changing on that, but I think we all well know what it means.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. All we have to do is look outside, look at the TV and watch the rioting going on right now.
Exactly. And it's been stunning to me for several years seeing that in all of these little children's books. You know, we do have book editors, so this must be what they want.
Must be.
Must be.
So the editors that they're looking for are those leaning to the left, sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. And Stonewall, a building, an uprising, a revolution, goes through the history of the Stonewall Inn, which I found very interesting. But then it gets to the uprising of the Stonewall Inn. Again, this is all told through the eyes of the inn itself. And it, again, whitewashes what was actually taking place in that building. And it makes the police look bad.
Of course it does. And I think that if any of your listeners would do their own research on the Stonewall riots, okay, I think that they would find that there's a little bit different perspective, you know, on just what happened. But the message of this book, being for the very young, is still just trying to stress that this is when they won all of the rights and how important it is. And, of course, they towards the end, it's now two men who love each other or two women who love each other can marry.
Yeah.
And it all began right here at the Stonewall Inn. Yeah.
But facts don't matter anymore, it seems. And when we talk about the pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag, facts definitely are not important in this book. This targets ages 5 through 8 because they talk about nothing about who Harvey Milk really was. And
no, you're right.
The fact that he was a pedophile.
Yeah. And, you're absolutely right. And if people want more information on this, Randy Schiltz.
Right.
He wrote the biography on Harvey Milk, and he is a homosexual. So it's very, very interesting, but he talks about what happened to Harvey Milk as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always said that if he really, really cared about all of these issues, he would have been fighting for the children not to continue doing what he was doing.
Absolutely. But they have an agenda, and it's an agenda, and the kids are the target. And one of their main things, besides, you know, bad court decisions and as far as them getting their quote-unquote rights, is to convince the younger generation that they're born this way, to convince the younger generation that there are some people who are born homosexual and that there's some people who are born transgender and they can't help themselves. So they're equating it to race. They're trying to equate sexual orientation and gender identity to race. That's their goal. That's what this whole fight for quote-unquote equality is. What Makes a Baby was an interesting book. It's read by the author. It targets ages 3 through 7. Found it interesting that he never mentioned male or female or man or woman or even boy or girl.
He shows shapes of people, and he'll have the shapes all in different colors. So the point is that you could be a man or a woman and have a uterus.
Yeah.
Okay, and his book, this is very important because he has a reader's guide address where you can go to online.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he actually is talking about, I think it's 60-some pages.
Mm.
And one of them, he talks about two lesbians, and of course they needed a sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So Uncle Jack was kind enough to donate the sperm in a cup.
Mm.
And then the one lesbian helped insert it into the other lesbian.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things that they're talking about. But Corey Silverberg, he wrote a second book, Sex is a Funny Word, but he, you know, you should look online. There's an article that I used in one of my articles years ago that he wrote in 2003, and it's called I'm Hot for Myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's a lie we can't be happy alone. May is National Masturbation Month. And he said, over the past few 5 years, it's became my favorite holiday.
And
so
he's...
I'm not going to continue, but this is Corey Silverberg.
Writing children's books.
Yes.
I think you should be banned from doing that.
And people should be, you know, they cannot take things for face value.
No.
They need to start looking up and seeing who these people are and where they're leading the children.
Yeah. It's, wow. Anyway, let's go on to Neither.
All right.
And that kind of tells you where that's headed. It's targeting ages 4 through 8 and... basically, the crux of it is someone can be neither male or female. That's pretty much it in the nutshell.
Yeah, and you'll notice if you go to my table on my website, take a look at the dates that these were published. Almost all of them are very recent.
Yeah.
Okay, and this one, you know, begins, once upon a time, there were two kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, by the end, you realize that you can be neither of those. It ends this and that, somewhat and whatnot, either, very, sort of, just, rather, a little, neither, and both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, scary. Here, we're going to skip down. They talked a little bit about, there was one book about polyamory, Elsie Marie and her 7 little daddies, ages 5 and up.
Yes, the whole gist of the story, and they all like to say that this is a wonderful little story about a girl, and of course her family was different because she had seven miniature daddies, mm-hmm. and one day her mother couldn't pick her up from school, and she was scared to death all day long how the other children would react to her seven daddies coming to pick her up. Mm-hmm. But of course they had a wonderful time.
Right.
But what I want to bring into this, the edition that these children are reading and that you're seeing online is a North American edition. The original Swedish edition also had the picture of Elsa Marie, her mother, and her seven daddies in the bathtub.
Oh, really?
Really.
So the U.S. version is kind of cleaned it up? They weren't all in the bathtub?
I'm not sure whether they published that in Canada or here, but yeah, the North American version, yes, they left that out.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know there was the one scene where they were all seated in a chair and the seven daddies were sitting on the lap of the mother or something. Yeah.
Yes.
But they weren't in the bathtub.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's quite interesting.
That's Sweden, for sure. Okay, let's look at some of the books that are read during drag queen story hours. And, in fact, a lot of these books were read by drag queens there mm-hmm. on YouTube. You know, I appreciate you doing this because, I mean, I've highlighted some of these books in our fight against drag queen story hours in public libraries. I'll just give a brief little something on this one. The hips of the drag queen go swish, swish, swish. And this is ages 4 through 8, which all of these are ages 4 through 8 because that's our target audience for drag queens. But it's just a preview of the book by Little Miss Hot Mess. It teaches kids what it feels like. It teaches kids what it feels like to be a drag queen. And it was available beginning May 5th. So it was a promotion of his upcoming book, these pronoun things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a promotion of his upcoming book. But we have Worm Loves Worm. What was that all about?
Wow. Well, that was one where you had two worms that wanted to get married. But they were told, you know, you had to have somebody to marry them. You had to have bridesmaids. You had to have the groomsmen, rings, and all of that. So it showed how the worms adjusted to each one of those things. But then who was going to wear the bride's dress? So finally what happened is one of the worms wore the bridal dress and, of course, the top hat to the tuxedo,
mm-hmm.
and the other one wore the tuxedo with the bridal veil.
Yeah.
And, of course, it ended with, you know, they got married, and because, you know, love is love, worm
right.
loves worm.
Again, promoting same-sex marriage. It's just normalizing it all. How about Red, A Crayon's Story?
Yeah, that one has received a lot of traction lately. But this one is simply about a crayon. And actually, the crayon is blue, but the label says red. So you see, it was mislabeled. So
mm-hmm.
no matter what happened, the red crayon could never draw the strawberries or
mm-hmm.
anything like it was supposed to
mm-hmm.
until it met a new friend, and they had him draw the blue ocean, and then, of course, everything was fine, you know. So it's another trans message.
Right.
And at the end, of course, you know, she says, "My son is brilliant. Who would have known he was always blue?"
Yeah. And one quote that stuck with me was, "He came from the factory that way."
Yes.
Meaning that he was born that way.
Yes.
I mean, if you're talking about kids.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Jacob's New Dress. That was definitely blatantly transgender-oriented.
Yeah. And, it begins with a little boy had taken his dress, so he's kind of whining to his mom, and so she gets out her sewing machine, and they make him a new dress. So, of course, he's very, very proud of it. And as they said in the little circle at school, you know, one boy thinks that his dad has told him that that's wrong, but the teacher goes along with it and
mm-hmm.
encourages it. And so in the end, he's just himself, and so he's happy in his dress. That one is interesting because there is a drag queen story out, a reader reading that book on YouTube.
Yeah.
And at the end, the drag queen says, "The moral of the story is whatever you think, but as long as you're authentically yourself, you're going to be happy and joyful."
We're thinking along the same line because I had noted that also down here.
Yeah, and
wow.
you have to ask yourself, I mean, you almost laugh, how authentic is it?
Yeah, I know. That particular one was posted by Chicago Children's Museum. I noted that too.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of these books, I only listed one of the readings. Some of them have maybe 5, 6, 7
uh-huh.
different people reading them, and a lot of them come from school systems.
Well, I know that first one was from Delaware State Education Association. Mm-hmm. Our house is on fire. I noticed that, too.
Right.
Yeah, so that was most interesting.
Yeah, that was their counselor.
Wow. Anyway, they're not pushing an agenda either. School unions wouldn't be...
Right, they're very, very neutral.
Yeah.
I would like to mention, though, that feminist baby. There's three
okay.
of those.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I didn't bring that up, but that was kind of weird. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, but what is very interesting is you need to look up the author of that, Lauren Brandt.
Uh-huh.
And she works for BuzzFeed. She used to work for Jim Henson.
Oh, really?
Okay, on Sesame Street, yes. But she is the creator of the Good Advice Cupcake.
Good Advice Cupcake.
Yes. So if someone wants to look that up, that will give you a little bit more background.
Wow.
But I thought it was very interesting. That one is for babies to 2-year-olds. And one of them was the feminine. There's only 74 words in the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
And 16 of them are feminist baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we only have 58 real words.
Right.
But one of them is feminist baby says no to pants. So they sit there and show the baby.
Yeah, the rear end.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yes, you know, which is, you know, very interesting. And sometimes she'll throw up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, 58 words, what are you saying?
Not a whole lot. Except there's repetition.
Mm-hmm.
The feminist baby,
right.
I mean, it's that repetition, mm-hmm. and that's what sticks in the kids' mind.
Especially when there's two more books following it.
Yeah, there's three.
Baby.
Yeah, there's three in the series. It was, like, weird.
Yes.
So, I don't think there's any question about this, but are they truly targeting kids, or is this just coincidence that all of a sudden we have these kids that are, these books, rather, that are promoting children's books, I mean preschool books, that are promoting transgenderism, that are promoting gay is okay, and promoting climate change, feminism, activism. I mean, right now there's schools that have activism clubs.
Yes.
So,
you know, not to mention Marxism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and people think that I just go through and I pick out the only ones that are like this.
It's harder to find ones that aren't like it.
Yes, it is. And I want parents to step back and think about, you know, if you're grandparents, think about what types of books did you read your children
yeah.
when they were three?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the type of things you read to your children when you were three?
No.
No. And think about what a normal 3-year-old would be like.
Right.
And now we're putting the weight of the world on
mm-hmm.
these children.
Yeah. No wonder there's so many children who have issues.
Mm-hmm.
When truly, as you said, the weight of the world is being placed upon them. You know, our house is on fire. You know, we have to do something. And all this activism stuff. Children should be allowed to be children.
Yes, they should. And we're trying to get children to solve problems that adults cannot.
Yeah.
But we have to be honest here. They're not expecting the children to do this. They're exploiting the children.
Mm, that's true.
Look at the signs in some of these books when the kids are protesting and they're holding up the signs. I guarantee you these are not words that a child
yeah.
with no history, geography, science, economics, and doesn't know how to read.
Yeah.
These are not words that they would have
yeah.
thought up
right.
on their own.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
let's be real.
Besides, they can't write that well anyway.
Pardon me?
Besides, they cannot write that well anyway. We look at some of the signs in the books. They are
yes.
they're well written, and you know, besides the vocabulary that's being used. So you wrote the book Between the Covers: What Makes a Children's Book? Between the
book.
Covers: What's Inside a Children's Book? Is the book that you wrote. How can find that goes into much more details about specific books and the language that's found in those books, plus history of how books have changed. We had, I think it was in January when I had you on before, and we talked about that during that interview. So how can folks get this book so that they can see how older children are also being targeted?
They can go to my website, and my web address is, no apostrophes in this, just lowercase, what's, whatsinsidecildrens. Books. What's Inside Children's Books.
Okay, what's
.com.
What's Inside Children's Books .com.
Yes.
And I encourage you, you know, our listeners, to go to that website and check Debbie's blog post. And especially if you have younger children, check that recent blog post that has the links to these books being read. You will be appalled. And then get a copy of her book. It goes into, and just be prepared as you read the language and the number of times the curse words, the F word is used in these books that are targeting our kids. And we wonder why we can't walk down the street hardly without hearing foul language coming from the mouths of kids. It's what they've been reading all their lives, unfortunately.
Right.
So what's inside childrensbooks.com is Debbie's website. And thanks so much for all the time you spend in exposing these attacks on our kids.
Well, thank you for having me and getting the word out, Diane.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.